Hello, everybody. Good evening from Florida. I'm Dr. Bryke, and this is the Veterans Health Forum, our weekly podcasting dedicated to the health and wellness of our veterans. Today with me in a Transatlantic studio is again our Vice President and our Chairman of the Biomedical Tourism Department of ABMI, Professor Koscheck. Hi, Marco. How are you?
Hello, Florian. Hello, everybody. I'm doing very well, eagerly awaiting today's another, I hope, interesting discussion. Also, I think informative, and also to forthcoming holidays, season holidays, which I think we all expect.
We are just 3 days away from Christmas. Yep. I normally put my reindeer stuff on the head. Okay. The reason why I couldn't do it now is because we have this background in here, the virtual background, and if I put them up, then they disappear. So I was under the impression that I will do like this, you know, the podcast. I don't want to be criticized, you know, of not being, serious about what I'm doing. So I will put them aside, but I show the audience my Christmas attire. So anyway, here they go. Now, as advertised last time, we were talking about opening a new series in our podcasting, and the new series will be dedicated also to the veterans, of course, right? But we are opening a new direction into here, into the balneo tourism. Now, as I mentioned in the short introduction, you are the chairman of the Balneo Tourism Department of ABMI, the American Balneo Medicine Institute. So, tell us a couple of words about your teaching career at the University of Maribor, right?
That's right. Well, I'm coming from University of Maribor, Faculty of Tourism, but I worked in tourism kind of operational, or industry 20, 30 years from, 1986, especially on developing different projects here in Europe, mostly. In 2014, then I joined the academic institution where I'm teaching sustainable tourism, destination management, geography of tourism, some practicum. So I'm still working in the field. I'm not 100% at the faculty, which gives me a little bit of insight what is happening in the tourism. And as we started to discuss this opportunity of balneo tourism recently, most recently, I also somehow get into it, partly because of the fact that the product of this kind exists in my own region, which is southeast of Slovenia. We have very rich experience in 2-3 spas here, which you visited in some years ago. And this is, being project manager for a regional tourism development. So this brings me into the opportunity to work with the colleagues from the spa, and then we somehow develop some joint activities, and here we are.
Everybody knows that we are in the post-COVID time.
Absolutely.
We know that we have been locked down 3 years ago for almost 2 years. So the tourism in the whole world was completely dying out. You just use one word, sustainable tourism. So that would be also one of the connections between the balneo tourism and the tourism in general, the sustainability, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So if we are talking about sustainable tourism, as you discussed before and many other episodes prior to this, we analyzed the situation of what did go wrong into the general tourism. In other words, how did the general tourism progressively came to the status quo, or even more than the status quo? How did it end up in the post-COVID time.
Mm.
What happened in the industry that the general tourism degraded itself? And we know, but I'll let you make a couple of points in that direction.
As I see it from my side, you see, some 10, 15 years before COVID, everything was constantly growing. Each year we were talking about new positive figures, more people, more bed nights, more income. But already then we recognized that there are some issues with the environment because the volume was constantly increasing, especially in some major destinations, which were quite well visited. On the other side, we had also, let's say, smaller or not so well-known destinations, which were struggling because of poor visits, you know. And in a sustainability, we are talking about three or four pillars. One is economic, second is social, environmental. Recently, we are talking about also about the climate change. I know that the climate change problems and issues are visited or seen from different corners and perspectives. But let's keep these three main pillars. And for instance, there was a constant growth of this economic pillar. But on the other side, we diminished and degraded the environmental one, especially, as I said, in these well-visited destinations. And when COVID came, of course, it was sudden soberness because there was nobody coming. It means that the economic pillar collapsed completely. Basically, that was one very brutal evidence, I think, for many destinations that if they don't somehow take care about all dimensions and aspects of the development, that they may face problems. Of course, after the COVID, many destinations went on their way as before, so nothing was learned. But I believe that nowadays, with this new trends, new situations, where balneo tourism as a part or a form of wellness and health tourism is absolutely growing in importance, and it is coming on board. And I think that this is a very good example how, for instance, natural healing resources, means Mother Nature, medical expertise, excellent at top level of expertise, then also wellness experience, where we are talking about certain aspects of I don't know, healing mats, gases, thermal waters, but also about the physical activities, mental stress cureness, etc. And tourism quality, because all this is happening in, I would say, top or very qualitative infrastructure, superstructure with spas, good hotels, or if somebody prefers, farm tourism, vineyard cottages, which are nearby. And all this is, I would say, one broad aspect of sustainability, as I understand it from my perspective.
Yeah, and this is exactly the moment where we're going to go to attack the next point because of the limitation of time. But anyway, the difference between balneo tourism and the classical or commercial tourism. So balneo tourism always existed. I mean, we are talking about from the Roman time, from the Greek time, people were going to the spas. They were going to the places of healing, which if we are considering it from the a modern perspective of looking at that, they were traveling there. It was a kind of a tourism, not designated as a tourism, but nevertheless, fitting in a group of tourism. Then you had the 19th century, which was now and the late phase of the 18th century, 19th century, 20th century, beginning of 20th century. This was the golden age of balneo tourism, when people would go on the Kur, right? Yeah. They will go to those locations, which now, as you mentioned, several beautiful locations in Slovenia. There are hundreds of such locations around the Alps, the Alpine region of Europe. We are talking about south part of Germany, central Germany. We are talking about France. Everybody heard about Vichy in France. We are talking about North Italy. We're talking last week, we were talking about the area where my cousin Peter lives, in Graz in Austria, north of you. We are talking about Croatia, the Dalmatian coast, Slovenia. We are talking about, we can go into the Slovakia. We can go into,
Bulgaria.
In Romania.
We should not forget Hungary, which is one of the, let's say, top places. For instance, Budapest tourism product is based on spa.
Heard from one of my Ukrainian patients. She's a hospital doctor, and she comes from Lviv. Is it, do I pronounce this correctly?
We pronounce it Lvov or Lviv.
Lviv. Okay, so that was also part of the Austrian Empire before. So even there in the Carpathian Mountains, turning, if you look at the geography of Europe, and you'll see clearly wherever the mountains, whatever the volcanic, old volcanic parts of the Alpine region is, that's where we have those hundreds of locations. Some of them are of world renown. World renowned destinations. We're talking about Karlsbad, we are talking about Baden-Baden, we are talking about Bereshofen, we are talking about Bad Nauheim, where our program is starting. We are talking about Vichy, we are talking about many other locations like that. But this is the balneo medicine tourism. In other words, people are going to their locations not only to get a medical treatment, but to enjoy a vacation.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think is what we go ahead.
Continue, Florian, and finish.
This is when we are coming to say that the health vacation will be, in our opinion, will be slowly but sure replacing the commercial tourism. In other words, that would be talking into the sustainability of the tourism. In other words, if the old-fashioned tourism has to modify itself in order to survive, well, this is the possibility to go into more into the health tourism.
Absolutely. I would maybe just add two aspects. As you rightly pointed, starting from Romans on, you know, people were mostly going there here to cure, as you said. To cure means to have a treatment after they face some problems. The modern balneology, they also develop now so-called preventive phase. This basically means you are going there before you face any problems. And I think that's at least from my point, a major difference. And of course, means that in spa are coming also, let's say, normal, healthy people. Of course, maybe with problems of being under the stress or not very healthy diet, but still not having, I think, major disease, you know. And I think this is important to understand that here we are talking also about this option to prevent things before they are happening. And I think that's also important to mention anyway.
Well, absolutely important, because you will analyze the structure of the clientele or the structure of for whom that kind of a vacation is important. And vacations are important for everybody, but you will have, on one hand, you will have chronic people, people plagued by chronic disease. And we have many of them, high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, respiratory problems, particularly now after COVID. You have renal kidney problems, we have intestinal problems, we have allergies of all kinds, and so on. Now, particularly here in America, we are talking about obesity being also a chronic situation, right? When you reach the over 60% of the adult population demonstrating a kind one or the other stage of obesity, we have to talk about a chronic situation. So again, those are people who will go on such vacations in order to take care of their condition. But as you said before, the big number of the vacation people will be healthy people also, will be people who are, you know, are more, definitely more active, younger people, middle-aged people, people very active, and who got the word that participating in such health vacations will do a couple of good things for them. Number one, they will have their vacation. They will enjoy the time in the nature and so on in different geographic areas. So a typical vacation. And number two, they will use that time to do something eminently important for their health.
Absolutely.
So in order to maintain the health, in other words, the balneo tourism is not only for sick people or people looking for a cure. It's for everybody.
Absolutely. Right? I think that it is important to say that our program is designed basically that if somebody comes with a family or I don't know, partner, then means you will be having these treatments, and there are all different kinds of treatments which you can enjoy with, and not are not related beauty program, detoxination program, etc., etc.
Right.
But also, I think the important things is that you will be in the destination, which is somehow offering very quality products in relation to certain, let's say, active holidays, opportunities, walking, trekking, cycling, or gastronomy, enology, in our case, for instance, combination with wine, with sightseeing, heritage, culture, and events. So basically, this is a combination which gives you the most, let's say, powerful effect on your improvement of the health condition and immune system, which is put together as a package.
Right. While you are talking, you just mentioned something about a beauty cure. Well, all right. Beauty cure is something very, very interesting today because our TVs are all covered with skincare, with skin core and all those kind of things now for healthy people, right? So one of the major areas of activity in the balneo medicine is the dermatological aspect. In other words, using the natural resources and the natural cure possibilities to improve the condition of one's skin. So now we are going into the beauty cure or beauty treatments, into the skin forming cure and so on. So in other words, those are very, very desirable, I don't want to call them side effects, but okay, different aspects of balneo medicine in relationship to more critical conditions, as I said before, diabetes, respiratory problems, allergies, and blah, blah, blah. So in other words, it's a total big picture around the health.
Absolutely. So
everybody participating into such a vacation, if the husband has a chronic problem and he goes on the cure, the wife can go for non-typical disease improvements, cures or programs, like I mentioned, skincare, cosmetic, everything like that. So everything can be put together.
So let's say that we are talking about several aspects of balneo tourism, which are, of course, related. Probably the first understanding is thermal and mineral waters.
Yes,
could be hot,
yes,
warm, and all kind of combination. Then healing mud, clays.
Yeah.
Also,
right,
that is using in some of our spas here, you know. Natural gases even.
Yes.
Baths, CO2, etc. Then some specific chemical compositions of the water, where, for instance, certain water are richer on sulfur or magnesium or calcium or any other things. And also about stable natural environment. Climate, air quality, we have also aerial spa spas where you basically are healed if you have, for instance, lungs problems in certain environment which has quality of the air which would, you know, improve right. your condition there. You
well,
see,
majority of those centers are located in the middle of the nature, of course,
absolutely.
Forests, fir trees,
absolutely. Absolutely.
The high altitude conditions where the air is
yeah.
way
or
more
on coast. Sorry to
yes,
to
on the in. Coast. I mean, we are talking about the classical examples of the coast would yeah. be Palermo in Sicily, where people before the existence of antibiotics, everybody from northern, from central Europe who was afflicted by tuberculosis. The last resort was to go to Palermo on Sicily to stay into the Mediterranean iodine air environment, warm, humid, minerals in the air from the sea, on the sea level and so on, to do something for the lungs, because that was the only thing what people had, right? But then you have, as you said, so many natural possibilities. Talking about now the mineral waters, rich in different minerals and so on, they are absolutely a paradise for the gastrointestinal problems,
yep.
for the kidney problems, for the liver problems. For then you go into the thermal, as you said, the joints, the mechanical problems
yep.
in the body, arteriosclerosis. You go into, now you're going also into the regional diet, right?
Yep.
So you are changing completely
yep.
the environment in which you live. The air you are breathing, the level of stress
yep.
completely dropping down, the novelty of the vacation, the diet where you
mm-hmm.
are going. So in other words, you are hitting your body and your mind from all aspects around you.
Absolutely. And like, I think we should mention that all this is supervised by doctors and physiotherapists of top high quality,
exactly.
which would control your therapeutic baths,
right.
which will control your inhalation therapies, which will prescribe your mud wraps or packs, which
well,
will maybe even offer you hydrokinetic therapy, which means exercise in water. This is, for instance, what I experienced after my hip removal and change, you know. Of course, these are all preventive, rehabilitative, and chronic condition treatments personalized for,
yes,
I would say, individual patient, because all teams are there to examine you before you start, during your treatment, and afterwards, as we talked with the home care program.
Yeah. And moving to the next step, I would say, or point, this is, in our opinion, the future of tourism. If the tourism will have to revive itself, to reinvent itself, to redesign itself, then definitely we will see the shifting from mass tourism into individual tourism.
Yep.
Into a very, very small family group tourism type of, where people are going not only to visit places, but to visit places with another meaning, in other words, doing something for your own health.
Absolutely.
And it comes to my next point in there, it's the safety of travel. Right.
Yeah.
So if we are looking at the today's, and I'm going to attack this point right now to move on, because this is today's just an introduction to our, I want to keep a couple of minutes at the end to describe what we are, what our plan is about the balneo tourism podcasting. But I would say safety of travel. Now, seeing what's happening in the world, where is the question is next, if all the options are open, you have all the options where you want to plan your future vacation, where would you go? Where would be for you the safest place that you go, you travel safely, you stay in there in safe conditions, and you return safely home? Which is the area on the globe? I mean, if we would be nominating just one single area, where would that gonna be? In my personal opinion, would be Europe.
Yeah.
Because I mean, from a American perspective of traveling, where would I go? We know that in the past, before the pandemic, before anything, let's just say when the world was at its old, right? Yeah. Considering the old world, the pre-pandemic world, right? Okay, so majority of our travelers from America will go definitely close by Mexico, Latin America, Central America, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the neighboring, opportunities.
The neighboring. Yeah. Others will go to, say, Southeast Asia, right? Okay, you'll go to Malaysia, to Indonesia, to India, to whatever. Or some of them, and I have a patient of mine who is organizing safari trips to Kenya and Africa and so on. All right, well, honestly, would I go now to such places? My answer is no.
Yeah.
Why would I go somewhere where either I will be robbed, kidnapped, killed, stolen from me, or simply being in a war zone or in a miserable condition, and I would say, well, I had an experience. I don't need, nobody of common sense need those experiences anymore.
I absolutely agree with you. Safety and security is the first precondition to really do this. And at the moment, okay, also Europe is facing some challenges, but I believe that on the other hand, that the destinations we are talking and we are planning to include into our program are, let's say, satisfying the optimum level of the safety which this destination, and this is a central Western Europe, more or less. You know.
All things considered, I will be safer right there. So and then with a geographical position of those majority of those centers, I have a huge palette of options. I am north of the Alps in Germany, in Austria. I am west of the Alps in France. I am way down south in Spain if I want to go. I'm south of the Alps in Slovenia, in Croatia, in Italy. So I have mountain alpine conditions around the Alps. I have Mediterranean conditions.
Yes.
Okay. On the coast of Adriatic Sea, also in Italy and so forth, in Spain. So I have every single possible geographical condition which I would be able to take advantage of. And then, on top of everything, if I'm talking about the cultural aspect of the vacation, the culinary, the food, the wine, the so on. So now I can choose from bratwurst in Germany and beer to the Mediterranean Italian food style to your fish in the on the Dalmatian coast in Adriatic, you know, the island of Vis, and so on. So we are talking about an immense palette of
absolutely. I absolutely agree with you that the cultural and experiential dimension of this destination would be also important choice, because we are offering spas in different aspects of this category. Historic spa architectures. We have also spas which are operating from the Roman period. So you would be in old traditional building, or if you want, in very new one, which was developed recently. A lot of traditions in treatments. Then, of course, enjoying local culture, heritage stories, which you mentioned. You see, for instance, in our case, combination with wine, with vineyard cottages, the aspect of the life of the, let's say, very simple people. But nowadays, very, very, I would say, demand. The market asks for such things, because you are in the nature, you are surrounded with forest, maybe vineyards, nobody bothers you, you don't hear anything but birds and you know, noise of wind in the woods. landscape experience anyway, parks which are around you, opportunities for complementary activities such as walking, cycling, yoga, cultural events, etc., etc. All these aspects are part of the experience, beside of course the main one, which is the therapeutic let's say part of the story.
I mean, what better place to distress than in Matas's cottages?
Yes.
I mean, the audience wouldn't know what I'm referring to.
I suggest that next time we put some photos and maybe slides on, or maybe even we ask a friend of ours who was 25 years one of the directors of the travel agency in that region, so that maybe he can speak. We will decide, but we will bring you we will bring you more concrete things. Today is just warming up.
the vine cottage situation in Slovenia, it's absolutely unique. If you will go to talk about the Swiss chalets in the different slopes of the Alps and so on, you are talking about the vineyard cottages of Slovenia, a whole world by in itself, right? And if you combine that with the wine festivals and with the food and so on, you have a complete different picture. And that picture would be the most suitable thing for somebody who wants to take a vacation just to relax, de-stress. So, okay, you have your cottage, you stay in there for a week, 2 weeks, a month, longer than that. You cook your own food, or you can go to local restaurants if you don't want to cook anything. But as you say, you are listening to the birds, you are listening to the wine. Yeah, you are listening to the wine too, right?
You are listening to the wine too.
It's starting talking to you right in after.
But it is also that you are listening to the wine. How is fermenting if you come to the right period of the year between October and November when the harvest is, you know.
I meant you are listening to the wind, right? Because you mentioned the birds.
I know.
Right. And from the wind I went in the wine. Okay. So you're listening to all those kind of things, and you are high on the slope of the hills, you're looking down in the valley. It's it. Right? I remember how incredible the scenery was in November when I was there, October, right? In October, November, something like that last time. Yeah. And you are here on top of the hill, you look down into the valley. What was the castle? What's the name?
Old Castle at Starigrad.
Now over there in the valley.
Otočec.
Right. And then you look above there, right in the mountains over there, and you can see the snow coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So unbelievable stuff. Anyway, so those are kind of things what will make the meaning of a health vocation. So the health vocation, and we have different kind of names for those kind of things. You have the balneo tourism, all right? You have the health vacation, which in the reality is the same, right? You have the cure vacation. You are going in on a cure. What is a cure? It's a medical designed vacation where you are positively influencing your health. So that is what the entire balneo tourism is. And I would bring back, to the end of our episode right now, let's talk about how do we envision this new type of series about balneo tourism. So I would just say out there that what we mentioned a week ago, 2 weeks ago in our last podcast was, okay, we are planning to analyze and present in the future different biomedical centers in Europe. Okay, we will be starting with a couple of where we are planning to bring our veterans rehabilitation program, our bio recovery program into, and go and dedicate different kind of maybe 2-3 episodes to one center, invite people from that center, get the information for our American patients and tourism-loving travelers.
Maybe also tourism professionals, tour operators, travel agents who could take this as their own business too, you know.
Exactly, and bring the knowledge of what's available to the American public. And I have to say that, you know, reflecting upon how the commercial tourism was before the pandemic, we realized that those kind of centers, I would use the word, and I don't care if some people agree or not, they were totally unknown in America. Totally unknown, totally ignored by the class, using the word classical, by the traditional, by the commercial tourism. Number one, all the spas and all those resorts are off the beaten path.
Yes.
They are in the particular pristine condition, mountain conditions, regions, small regions, they are not downtown Frankfurt, Rome, Paris, Madrid, and whatever. They are not within the big tour of Europe.
Absolutely.
So therefore, they never played any role into the information, which is vitally important to bring the American travelers to those centers. And this is exactly where we are planning to bring our podcast series to show the American, to present to the American public the wonderful world of those biomedical centers and the enormous complexity of what your health vacation can encounter, what Absolutely. You can do when you go on such centers, how you can literally travel from one center to another, and now that you know you don't have to cross borders in Europe and so on, you just simply go by train. You don't even have, what's more beautiful in Europe than travel by train, right? You don't have to fly, you don't have to do anything. You can have your central location, for that matter, one of those centers, and from there you can go and visit every week, every couple of days, another center. And why would you do that? Because you never know which of those hundreds of locations will be talking most to your appeal.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, this is, I can talk out of my own family with my great-grandmother. she visited many, many centers. It was the time of, turn of the 19th century into the 20th century, and later on into the 20th century, she visited many centers. And of course, she went to Vichy, to Carlsbad, to Baden-Baden, and so on. But she found one single location where she would return every single summer. It was Biarritz.
Okay.
Now, Biarritz, it's a total unknown place, right? It's the very point of the Biscaya corner. In other words, the western borders of France, the Atlantic Ocean, and then Spain comes and meets together. And right in that very corner, it's the Biarritz place.
Spa.
A very small corner, a very unknown, untraveled corner, and all her group of friends and people will repeatedly return to Biarritz every single summer, right? And we'll go and visit, to France, we'll go to the Pyrenees in Spain, we'll go to different locations, typical Compostela location and so on. But what I'm trying to say here is you'll never know visiting those centers which center will click for you. You will say,
Absolutely.
I feel home right there.
Yeah. For sure, we will open a new information on absolutely not known, but trendy destinations from term of the sustainability, which I tried to explain
right
before. So this is what is the idea. And I'm almost certain that, as you said, some of these destinations and centers could become hotspots afterwards when American market discovered
right.
that.
And I, first of all, I looked into whatever is available out there. There never has been developed a program like this. There is presently no such program in existence. We have to also look at who are the people who will be involved in our podcast. First of all, you are the expert in sustainability, in tourism, sustainable tourism, right? I'm coming from the medical part of the equation. Then we have Professor Resch, who is the top of the European balneomedicine, right?
Indeed.
Then we have Dr. Meitsch, who is developing our supplements and so on, who spent his entire life in balneomedicine and chronic disease. So we are having, I would say, the best experts which can come together to create such a program. So in other words, not only that a program like that doesn't exist, but the initiative was never there. Mm. It's a pure information program showing the Americans where they can find their next health vacation destination.
I absolutely agree. And on top of that, I think we can say more or less all these elements which you mentioned, and people are already preparing the program. Program is there,
right.
so to speak. I think if there is the interest in a couple of days, we can already prepare the first round, when we will, of course, launch it and officially start.
Absolutely. You have in there the best what Europe can offer, the best spending time because you are doing it for vacation and for your health, the best cultural experience, the most safety what you can have when traveling. And when you come back, you know exactly where and when you will be returning.
Absolutely. Because that's already part of the treatment.
Right. And exactly to come back on what you said before, all those treatments or non-treatments or cures or programs or whatever you want to call them, they are all designed by super experts in their sphere of activity. If you are a patient, if you have a chronic problem, well, there is no better place in the world to spend your next vacation but in such of a center, which is since hundreds of years destined certainly to your chronic affliction.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely.
Right.
Agree.
If you are healthy, then there's no better place to go and experience the culture,
yeah,
the tradition, the everything around such centers, visit all kind of centers, do sports, whatever, and so on, and still enjoy the idea that if you ever need something for your health, those are the places you will return it.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go on.
I think that the series will be a success. We will do the best we can to bring the best information we can find to the American public. And I think that in itself, now, the program will carry on its own weight, but the program is nothing else but a small part of what the ABMI, the American Biomedicine Institute, is putting together.
Absolutely.
This kind of a podcast will be an information podcast towards the destinations, but it will be actually going hand in hand with the chronic disease treatments, with supplements, with the home care system when the patients are coming back home, or even the tourists are coming back home.
Yeah.
How can they maintain what they learned over there about their health? So it's a very complex and all-encompassing program.
Also logistics of travel and other elements to these places, I think, is part of the at least recommendation, if not more, from us.
Right. Okay, so I think we covered the safety of travel, we covered what's balneo tourism versus commercial tourism, we covered the meaning of the health vacation, We covered the future of the tourism. We covered the a little bit, a glimpse into the total aspect of our program and why we are trying to create this program. And all we want is everybody to tune in, send us your questions, get hot into visiting those centers in Europe, and stay tuned and see how the program will bring you there.
And more will follow in the next episode in 2026.
Exactly. And we wish everybody Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And
absolutely.
We'll see you in 2026 for a healthier and better travel year.
I wish the same to all listeners, to all who will find this interesting. So basically, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I look forward to see you in our next episodes during the 2026.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody, and Merry Christmas again. Thank you, Marco. And
thank you, Florian.
God bless everybody.
All the best. Bye.
All the best. Thank you.